If you would, turn to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16. Now, for the past few weeks, I've been talking about preaching on good questions in your Bible. And I didn't say they're the best, and I didn't say they're the only. I just think they're good. A few weeks back, we read about David, who became King David, when he was about to go challenge Goliath. And in that vein, David told his family, his brothers, and the elders of Israel, he said, "Is there not a cause?" And I thought that was a good question. So I preached on that. Then last week in Mark chapter 10, we saw the rich young man come up to Jesus and ask, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Thought that was a good question. So this morning, I'd like to go to another good question that's asked in your Bible in Acts chapter 16. Now, this is a situation where Paul and Silas had been preaching, and had a woman that was involved in witchcraft and had her get saved. And in so doing, that those that were making money through her works of divination lost their money, their jobs, kind of like our economy. But that's a different story. Nonetheless, when they saw that, they became very upset about that and consequently began to have the magistrates and the Jews and all that beat Paul and Silas. And so the magistrates told them to take Paul and Silas and put them in jail for this thing after beating them with many stripes. So while they're in jail, Paul and Silas, verse 25, Acts 16, 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we're all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Good question in your Bible. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now I want to get a little bit of a read on this jailer, this keeper of the prisoners, who was charged to watch them and not let them out. I want to get a little take on him as a human being. You see, there is something about man. When we are born into this world, we are born after Adam. In other words, our character is after Adam, which has sin in us. We are defined in Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3, about what's called the old man. And that reflects back on the Adamic nature we have, that which was passed down from Adam. And the Bible calls it the old man, the old man. And there's nothing good about this old man. The old man has his old ways. And so with that said, and we're going to come back to this jailer, but I'm trying to get you to see this jailer, what he experienced and who he was in the experience. So with that said, turn to Romans and go to Romans chapter 8. Look in Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this jailer of what he was going through and what he was experiencing him, within himself going through this thing. In Romans 8, look in verse 5. He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And then you come on down, go to verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Well, that's an identity that we get from Adam. In other words, people who are born in this world and are lost are in the flesh. That's that old man nature about us. They're in the flesh. And so then the Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so consequently, the devil knows this. The devil knows that our flesh cannot please God. Let me tell you something, folks. The devil knows this book better than most Christians know this book. He is wise to the Word of God. I mean, when Jesus came on the scene in Matthew 4, he confronted Jesus quoting the Bible to Jesus Christ. And so the devil knows this book. He knows that man born into this world with that sin nature, that old man about him, he's lost and he can't please God. So what the devil does is he arranges a structure whereby man can go into this structure and perform good things thinking he's impressing God. Thinking he's impressing God. So the devil has the structure out there for the old man to look good before God. I want to show you where this was a serious problem in Paul's life. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, we talk about all the problems in the world today, and there's a lot. And the fact of the matter is, chances are, we're going to never get these things fixed. They're going to be fixed when the Lord returns and He sets everything in order and He rules and reigns over this earth. But until then, there is someone in this Bible that's called the God of this world, and it's a reference to the devil, and he's operating the system that is in place today. And the system is him trying to get the old man, those that are born after Adam, trying to get them to look good before God. And so Paul had this problem at Corinth. Watch when we read here in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some." You may want to note some. There are some there at Corinth that he's addressing. "Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." You understand? There are some there that at Corinth that think that Paul and the men with him walked according to the flesh. In other words, they could see Paul had this old nature about him. I mean, folks, we're all sinners by nature. When we trust Jesus Christ, sin doesn't just leave our lives. I wish it would. It would help me out quite a bit. It would help you out quite a bit. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, sin is still in us. Paul says that the things he doesn't want to do, he finds that he does. The things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. He says, "It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." But these people, the sum at Corinth said, "Hey, this man Paul, look, this guy's, he's a sinner like everybody else. He walks according to the flesh." Some said that. And he says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." In other words, there was some disobedience by some. Now watch verse 7. "Do you look on things after the outward appearance?" You better believe they did. And folks, that's a mistake. You can't determine somebody whether they're saved or not by the outward appearance. That's what Paul's saying. Look, he said, "I'm an apostle. I was called of God. I was given the mysteries and the revelation to fulfill the Word of God according to Colossians. And your conclusion about me is that I walk according to the flesh?" What are they doing? They're looking at Paul's outward man. You can't do that. You can't do that. How do you know if somebody has trusted in Christ or not? In other words, if I have somebody sitting right here, I would not know if that individual had ever trusted in Jesus Christ by looking at them. You say, well, you can do a lot of it by character. Well, if we followed character, we'd conclude nobody was saved. That's why we call it amazing grace. The fact that it would save a wretch like me. The fact that it can be something given that you don't work for. And so he says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? Obviously they did. Some did. He says in verse 7, if any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. You imagine the Apostle Paul has to state before these people, I'm saved. I'm Christ. They had reached a point of spreading this thing around the Corinthian church that, hey, your preacher, I've seen that man. He lives after the flesh. He walks according to the flesh. He's just no good. He can't even be saved like that. And he said, hey, if you think you're Christ, he said, I am Christ. He says in verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord had given us for edification, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Look, he's a 98-pound weakling, and he just can't do anything here. Well, Paul addressed that situation in verse 11. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, meaning we're real bold and we write harsh letters, word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Basically, he's saying this 98-pound weakling is going to blow up into a World Wrestling Federation guy, and I'm coming there and I'm going to take care of some business. That's what he's telling them. And then verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So you had some that commended themselves. What is it to commend? It really, by definition, means to cause to stand out. Like we're wrapping up school. Someone called and was telling about their child has been to school since day one and hadn't missed a day of school. So they're going to receive a reward at the end of the school year, presentation, for perfect attendance. You know what they're going to do? They're going to commend that girl for perfect attendance. They're going to cause her to stand out for a reason. Paul said there are those there that are commending themselves. What are they doing? They're causing themselves to stand out. Why? They look on the outward man. They're putting on a show. All the while talking about Paul saying, oh, look at this man. He walks according to the flesh. He's not even Jesus Christ's child. He's not the son of, he's not God's son through faith. That's why he said at the end of verse 7, even so we are Christ. They're commending themselves. Folks, that's what the structure that the God of this world has set up for men. It takes that old man and cleans him up and acts right, looks right, and presents himself right to commend himself in front of others. Commends himself. And Paul says, they are not wise. They're not wise. You see, the jailer back there in Acts, he has the old man about himself, just like we all do. I was raised up in the Catholic Church. And folks, you want to talk about structure? I mean, catechism, going down the aisle, kneeling down at the altar, getting the Eucharist, lighting candles, confession, and going saying all your prayers. I mean, it was structure. And you go through the process. And all of that appeals to this right here, which you see, the outward man. You know where it never got to? Right here. The heart of man. You know where Christ goes? To the heart of man. When you receive Jesus Christ, he goes straight to the heart. You know why? That's the root of our problems. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know it. I search the heart. So God knew he had to get to the heart of the problem. And that's man needing to trust in Jesus Christ. So the jailer, was the jailer in a structured system? I don't know, but I can tell you this, that when Paul and Silas was in that jail, and I imagine this jailer, he had incurred some tough dudes, all right? I mean, we go around a little bowed up every now and then thinking how tough we are. No. Have you ever seen, I think it's a Discovery Channel, they got locked up abroad. It is Americans who went in other countries and got locked up, and they show some real video of, you know, South America, Mexico, Thailand, and they just did something or they were wrongly accused and they got locked up abroad. And they show some of the clips of some of those guys in those prisons. They're some bad boys. I mean, let's go. You need my tax dollars to secure those prisons? You got mine. Keep them locked up. They're some bad folks. And I can guarantee you, this jailer, he had seen them and he had dealt with them. And so here's Paul and Silas in this jail, and the Bible says they were in the innermost part of the jail. The magistrates were like, don't let these guys out. He charged them to keep them locked up and put their legs fast in the stocks after beating them. And at midnight, Paul says, I want my lawyer. Call Morris Bart. No, he didn't say that. Get my attorney. This isn't right. I got my rights. No, you know what they did? They prayed and they sang songs of praises. They prayed and sang. You know, that's something that the jailer never, ever experienced. Never experienced before in his life. So that, what in the world do I have locked up in here? And then at midnight, the clock goes, boom. And there's the earthquake. And the prison doors fly open. And the jailer wakes up. He rushes in there and says, oh, they've gotten out. He draws out his sword and goes, I'll never live through this. I'd just soon do it myself. He placed that sword down and was about to fall on it. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And the Bible says he came in trembling. You see, he wasn't worried about the old man. He wasn't worried about if he was raised in any religion or any religious structure. He got a good dose of what God was all about. And in so doing, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you know what Paul told him? Paul told him nothing. You say, no, you read that, Mark. He told him what. He never told him to do anything. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Good question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? We are saved by God's grace. Jesus Christ came down and the beauty of it all is, was made sin for us on that cross, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So the old man is what Jesus Christ became. That Adamic nature. Hence, Jesus Christ died for our sins and paid for our sins. Therefore, the jailer could do nothing to be saved, and neither can you. But people are convinced today, you clean this up, and you'll appeal to God. God, you'll catch God's eye. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. People by the millions are in the flesh right here today trying to please God. You can't do it. The only way God is pleased with you is by you putting your trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. Jesus Christ was His beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and by you putting your trust in Him, you have been made accepted in the beloved. God did all the work through Jesus Christ. So the jailer, good question. What must I do to be saved? Answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How simple can it get? God can't break it down any simpler than that. He took care of all the work. He paid the penalty, the price. I mean, can you imagine all the debt some of us have? All the debt that we have, and somebody walks up and pays it in full. Would you at least send them a card and say, thank you very much? A little something? Well, God Almighty came in and paid our debt by delivering up His Son to die for our sins. The wages of sin is death. And that's what Jesus Christ did, paid the wages. So there's nothing left for us to pay but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go out on Mother's Day, if you've never trusted in Christ, do so right here, right now. Leave this old man alone. Quit catering to him and put your faith in Christ. And once he's in you, let him work out of you. You know, it's like the old fishing statement. I've said this before. We'll catch him with the gospel. We'll catch him. God will clean them. Let Him work on you. Trust in the Lord. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You that this amazing grace has reached through time to extend to us today, that we could rejoice in it. But we do pray, if there's any here or any listening to this recording, that they would recognize their lost state and see that their need is to trust in Jesus Christ. He paid for our sins, paid it in full, in His simple faith, in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You thanks and praise through His name, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.